FY2017 budget hearing to order for purposes of hearing a presentation on the Newcastle County revenue summary with contingencies and debt service. Those present, council persons, Cartier, Kilpatrick, Bell, Hollins, Weiner, I'm Councilman Smiley, co-chair of finance, be chairing this meeting here. Just as a matter of record keeping, the budget hearings of the 28th and 29th, as is the situation right now with this one, did not have a quorum. Therefore, according to rules, no minutes were taken, notes were taken. And as they are notes, they are not required to be ratified by a majority of council, especially since you did not have a majority of council present at those meetings. If anyone is interested, you will find at the lobby front desk here a two-sided copy of those notes. One side for the 28th, one side for the 29th, being made public now. So, if you would identify yourself for the record and move forward.
Thank you, Finance, good afternoon, council members. And of course, today is, yes, the revenue summary, contingencies and debt service. And before we get started, I just want to point out that on page 17, there was a little typo in the narrative piece. Down under the legal debt margin, I just want to point out that about in the middle of the paragraph, it says there is an additional $248,816,206. That number is actually $248,696,867. As with page 21, the chart on page 21 has the correct answer. That was a typo there. I'm going to point that out before we get started.
Thank you, sir.
And also, I just want to point out, too, that today on the Lifelines, we have our new head of assessment, Ken Porter, here in case we have assessment questions. We have our, of course, the money man, Russ Mars, Dave Del Grande, and of course, we have Ed here. They'll always back up.
You got to play that.
Yes. Right? You've got to make sure you have enough with you. Especially since I didn't get Bob Wasserbach's job earlier. I have to wait till next week, right? All right, well, if we want to get started then, we go to page one. Page one is the recommended operating budget summary, listing our sources, total sources of funds, our total sources of funds for the budget. It's the bottom number, $184,766,473. We have our four various funds, and with that, I'm going to move to the next page. And let's
question.
Councilman Cartier.
Yes. I wanted to just explore the available cash balances, and I see it's $3,400,000 for the general fund and $1,300,000 for the sewer fund. We also have light fund, crossing guard fund, just to for the final figure of $5,374,414.
I would direct you to page 14.
Okay.
The breakdown, if you'd like to see, at the bottom of the page, use the available cash balance.
Right. What is this referred to?
Sentence all the way at the bottom.
Okay. Could you just give a little further explanation?
Sure. This is what we call our pay-as-you-go capital, the fleet acquisition, and then there is some information system products that are in the general fund, but about 95%, probably about almost $3 million of it's for fleet, if not more. I don't have the exact number in my head. Sorry, I don't want to quote that. And the same with the sewer fund, the 1.3. This is for updating the fleet vehicle purchases for the sewer fund.
Where are the reserves coming from to transfer?
From available cash balances?
Yes. From the available cash balances.
And the available cash balance is determined by our auditors at year end. Each year end.
What's left?
called available cash balance report. Matter of fact, we're rating for the current one until five.
So these are funds that we haven't, won't be utilizing in FY 16. They'll carry over to FY 17.
That would be correct.
And if I remember correctly, when council first explained it, we came in, was it, and maybe it went back and forth. At times, weren't fleet services paid out of the operating budget at one time, and then it went to the capital?
Years ago, we did it out of capital. Then there was a point in time where a different administration or different, someone put it back into the operating. The normal practice is to capitalize. And the reason why we use the available cash balances is versus issuing bonds. But it's to keep, you know, our assets are in a capital budget. And we've been capitalizing them for years. But like I say, someone had made a change and we're back and put it back in the operating. And then a few years back, we changed it back.
Moved it back to capital. And also, there's no interest on using these versus bonding.
No.
Councilwoman Kilpatrick.
You answered my question. I was going to ask whether this was specifically from just FY16 that it was left over or if it was another year.
Okay. Onward and upward, sir.
Okay. So if we go back to where we're at. Okay, page two is the narrative associated with the revenue sources. You can see our property taxes starting off. We have a 99% collection rate. And the tax rate, of course, is unchanged from last year. Our real estate transfer tax, of course, is based on 90% of the total estimate. And we have our service fees, license permits, interest, intergovernmental sewer rates. Page three gives you the history. The general fund revenue base, you see from 2010 through the estimated 2017. Back in 2010, you can see it was 162.5 million, now we're up to 180.5. We go to page four. This is the graph that Mr. Smiley was talking about and had an excellent recommendation that we made the change on to reflect the state chair for the dog control.
And I just want to speak to that. When I opened the book and was looking through, you know, it just came to me. When we're paying, these charts should show what county taxpayer dollars are going to. But to me, the original one was kind of a misrepresentation because when people look at these, at least when I do, I'm looking at the county funds that are being paid for county services that we're providing. And to me, it was kind of a misrepresentation because the dog control, which was listed on the original pie chart, you know, makes it appear that the county's providing that service. We're not. We're paying for it, but we're not providing it. And I've said from day one, I think it's important that the residents of Newcastle County know that the state has taken the control, but not the responsibility to pay for it out of their state coffers. So that's why I contacted them and said, I'd like to see another pie chart. I'd like to see that carved out so it's very clear. And my understanding is the public safety budget presentation will be modified to show that as well.
Show that.
Okay. Thank you.
And also on that page, we have the property tax rates for incorporated areas. Okay, if we move on to page five, start to get into it, you know, a little bit more discussion. Here again on the real estate taxes, provide the single largest source of our funds, 61.3%. You can see the gradual increases each year going up.
What basis is there, and I know it's all really, a lot of it's guesswork when you're going forward, but for the amount of increase that we're expecting for penalties. I mean, it looks like, you know, basically the actual in FY15, and then we have the estimated, now we're going back up. Are we now going to be based on current dollars? Are we revising the estimate for FY16? Do we expect the penalties to
go to Russ Morris?
Russ Morris, Office of Finance. In the current year, we have a credit for the properties on AstraZeneca that decreased the amounts that we're going to see this year. So there's an offsetting credit of $316,000, which we won't see next year.
You can't find it.
So, yeah, it's the offsetting credit that you would see from in 2016 that just doesn't occur year after year.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Looking for just to clarify that, I guess that category has two components. It's prior year taxes and penalties, these prior year tax penalties.
Yeah.
The adjustment for the prior year taxes is the category.
And just for future, and I'm sure this is probably what it was in the past, just didn't catch my eye.
Yeah.
If it said prior year taxes / penalties.
Right.
I did.
I really did.
I would have had it, so. Okay, thank you.
All right, if we move on to page six then, you can see the assessed value of our taxable property. Down below, you see the said tail of the taxes lost from the exempt properties.
Councilman Warren.
Right. How is our assessment review board's legal challenges faring, if you're able to make any statements on that?
Well, I want to turn this over to our new assessment manager just to see. Well, I mean, Ken's new, so he's. I'm not even sure if he has been brought up to speed 100% on this.
We're still really waiting on it. Really nothing new to report.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ken.
I know in the law department report that came out to us today, I went through it, and there are a couple of cases I see still pending, working their way through there. The only clarification I would have, excuse me, Councilman Cartier, and I would hear it. On the residential, that's a combination of disabled and senior tax exemption. Am I correct in that?
Correct.
Okay.
The residential exemption also includes some exemptions due to the types of property, but mostly it is the senior and the state disability.
Can you help me understand what types of residential property would we be giving example?
It might be a property that is associated with a church that gets designated.
Group home?
No, I don't think group home is getting exemption.
No, they'd just be religious or nonprofit organization.
Right.
It wasn't where we had any of them. Okay, I'd be interested in a breakdown on that.
Can we get that, Ken?
Yes.
I may want to put a manger in my front yard.
Well, I think some of the pastors do have houses, right?
Yes, they're usually included with the religious organization or the nonprofit organization.
If it's on the church site, I just wouldn't think that would be listed as a residential, I thought.
But a lot of them aren't on church sites.
I guess it probably depends on whether.
I think we need to look at that being an illegal business.
Like.
No.
Okay,
I'm sorry.
Many miles away.
If we go to page seven. You can see the taxable assessment growth. You'll notice Delaware City's up about 20%, almost 21%, and that is from bringing the refinery back on. They've been sitting on an exemption for a while. The chart down below, you can see how...
Councilman Cartier,
my apologies.
While we're discussing the assessment and properties, so isn't it fair to say we're going to face, I would say, in a very short term, some rather major sites are going to be coming to our Board of Assessors for appeals. What's happening with the steel mill in Claymont? Have they come before us? We also, talking about my district, we've lost the titanium dioxide paint pigment plant. They're tearing that down right now. So this is just a little window in my world, looking across the county with all the other business losses, I think we're going to be facing, you know, appeals of major sites. And I wonder if you want to comment on that.
Well, I would say, obviously, you know, when the appeals come in, which I don't believe we have any appeals on that, do we?
Not, but we've already written down the property for the Edgemore site.
Okay.
They went into teardown mode, it became residual value. We have faced quite a bit in the DuPont companies as we're walking through the DuPont change of corporation. They're talking about tearing down a number of pieces of buildings on those properties. So there will be some big exposures potentially with DuPont. And they have some appeals that are outstanding on the property that will continue to exist as well. That's the biggest exposure right now.
What about the the steel mill in Claymont? Have they come?
I think it's been written down to the point of its current state. If they tear it down, they rip it down again.
It's being ripped down as we speak.
Just for the record, that was Kenneth Porter assessment.
And I'll just say it's my understanding, whether it was hope, whatever, it's my understanding that the current DuPont assessment appeals won't be pursued, and buildings that are coming down, the anticipation is they will be replaced with bigger, more efficient buildings, which will give us the permitting processes and hopefully increased assessment there. So. Councilman Bell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess making the point on Delaware City, when we take a look at an increase of $8.2 million, okay, not only is that significant from the taxable assessment growth, but I think that sometimes we get folks that will come before us and other public agencies and governmental agencies, and everything that we try to do with economic development, sometimes there's folks that are totally against it. You know, don't want the refinery open. Well, you don't want neighboring jobs and neighboring businesses supported. But when you look at this, the economic effect that it has on this county government and being able to provide other services to folks and the neighboring businesses and everything, and that's pretty darn significant when it comes to economic development. And you know, I just hope that we'll kind of remember in our minds when we have some of the naysayers that come before us that they don't want anything. You know, don't want farmland preservation, don't want the refinery, don't want a port, you know, but yet they want jobs. And, you know, this government has done a tremendous job on holding the line on property taxes and sewer taxes and everything. So this is just an example of getting people back to work and helping the economy.
Mr. Coop.
And then a chart at the bottom does show the increase in our revenues as we get to have more assessment additions. See, in 2017, we're expecting to be up to about 1.2 million. Page 8, discussion on the real estate transfer tax. As we know, we only use 90% of what we budget, what we anticipate. So we try to stay fairly conservative on this. Obviously, the good years are not in this graph. They went back when it was up to almost 40 million, but we all know that that's a long stretch.
Pretty
data point. We go to page 9. Discussion on the sewer fees and sewer charge. Of course, there's no increase in the sewer fee. The revenues, as you can see, the decline, and a lot of that's been because of, you know, the usage down and businesses that have closed. All right, if we go to page 10. It's where the sewer bill goes, where the money is used, and where it's collected from.
Just page 11.
Okay. Councilman Cartier.
If you could just refresh, for my memory's sake, the stormwater drainage component of the average bill, sewer bill, that goes primarily to our stormwater facilities that we have to maintain throughout the county?
Yes.
Okay.
Page 11. That's the use of money and classifications. You can see the interest earnings, impact fees. Our interest earnings are still, we're hoping to be a little bit better than 2.8, but right now we're going to stay on the conservative side with the 2016. But as the monies are being managed by the new investment managers, as this progresses, we'll be getting earnings will be better. Go to page 12.
Excuse me, question.
Councilman Warner.
You called my ear new investment managers. Could you refresh my recollection?
These would be the new investment managers handling the reserve money that was with UBS.
Okay.
Now we remember.
There's about four or five with it still all being pulled together. They'll manage, pieces of it and break it down. But anyway, we're going to be bringing the consultants back into it.
Let me ask you a question. The funds were transferred to UBS on hold for 2 years, now being actively managed. But I hear you say they're still pulling it together.
We're pulling the management, the various managers, the contracts together are in the review process.
Is any of that going to end up creating an additional cost for us? Or, are they bringing on more managers to handle our
money? Yeah, because see, they were the consultant. They weren't the money manager. That's why it was sitting like that. Now the active money managers will manage this. Just like Wilmington Trust is a money manager managing a portion. These other managers will be managing these other funds in a different manner, other manners, okay? But that's why I want to say, they'll come in, we'll have an explanation, and show, yes, there will be costs associated with managers, whether it's one manager or four or five. The cost will always be associated with the dollar amounts. But what they'll do is they'll come in and they're going to explain, what the fees will be, what the anticipated revenues will be.
Well, just so when you bring them in, make it very clear. We want to know how much of the taxpayer pie they're going to be taking.
Okay. And the strategy, yes.
And the strategy. And also, for me, I'd like to have a comparison of what their piece of pie looks like compared to what it was with the other investment people. Councilman Cartier.
These interest earnings, does it reflect the investment by UBS in what, treasury, short-term treasury notes? What do we generally invest in with our cash to earn that?
Well, it depends. It's all the pooled funds.
Right.
The interest earnings. So it's the annual daily operating funds that are invested in money market CDs. Then there's these that are invested more in treasuries type of things.
So they would need to be liquid. You couldn't put in a long-term CD. You'd have to.
Exactly. They're based on the projections. They might be 3 months, they might be 6 months, they might be 9 months. It's all based on the revenue projections that's done in Treasury as to how long the investments are invested for, the duration period.
Okay. Mr. Goop.
We go to page 12. That's our sewer charges and fees. You can see the row office categories, recreation. Page 13 is licenses and permits. Page 14.
Boardman's comp.
Page 14 is, and it starts with the intergovernmental revenues, which are all listed there, and if you go to the last line there, the payment in lieu of taxes, $17,000, that's for federal properties that are around that aren't taxed. And at the bottom, we already went over the use of available cash balances. Page 15 is the estimated grant numbers, community services, land use, and public safety. Page 16 is the contingency account.
Accounts.
question.
Councilman Warner.
Yes, on page 16, the last 2 years, are this current budget proposal differ, and if so, to what extent in the last 2 years?
The overall, all four categories?
Yes.
What do you think? I'll let Dave Del Grande, he hasn't had a chance to speak yet.
Dave Del Grande, Finance Office. The only thing that's changed over the last 2 years is council. It was 300 at one time. It's now, it was changed to 266 in FY16 due to the instructions from county council. The other three, executive severance and salary adjustments, are all the same for 16-1 and 7.
Thank you.
I was just clarifying that council took the $34,000 out of contingency some years ago and put it in our legal counsel, for outside counsel, our attorney's fee.
I was just going to ask you, it seems like an odd number, not
that, but that was what we did at that time. At that time, what we had, and we just left it there and ran with the numbers because we can move it whenever we want.
Yes. So, thank you.
We appreciate your help on that one, too.
Yes.
And our last page is here, 17 through 24, for all our debt schedules.
And if I may, since it seems every budget year, when we do this, there seems to be an article or a letter or something that takes things out of context that we end up spending time dealing with. So just want to make it clear that our debt limit remains well below the allowable 3%.
Yes, that is correct.
Just speak to that for me.
Yes, right down there at the bottom of page 17. The actual legal debt margin, which is 3%, we're well, way, way, way under that. And if you also take a look at when you include all debt, we're still well below the allowable. But when you get into the allowable 3.0%, I mean, we are way, way down.
And point being, there's debt that legally does not fall under the 3% requirement.
Yes.
But even if we were to take that and bundle it, we would still be below the 3% threshold.
We would be at 2.1%, still below the 3%. And yes, the debt that is not subject to the debt margin is the enterprise fund,
right?
Sewer. And that's because it is the enterprise fund. It's not nothing to do with the general fund debt.
And the reason I raise that is, in the past, people have not done the math. They've merely looked and said, all of it isn't in there, so it must exceed the 3%. So I just want to very clearly put that on the recorded record that's here, that even if we did put all of it together and bundle it, and that is not applicable, we still fall below the 3% for our debt limit.
Yes.
Thank you. Councilman Cartier.
And Councilman
Warner.
For the record, because of the AAA rating from all three rating agencies, we've been able to borrow money at the lowest possible, most favorable rates in the municipal bond financing market, which also works to maintain low interest cost. And
yes, the county has enjoyed a good advantage being in AAA, saving. The savings are refunding last year, saved us considerable. Yes.
And the other point I'd like to make in the sewer enterprise fund, you know, we've incurred over $100 million in borrowing to finance the rebuild of Brandywine 100 sewer system, which was necessary and unavoidable, and benefits the environment, economic development, and because of the AAA rating, we're able to get very favorable rates to do that aggressive program of capital rebuilding of the
sewer
system.
That is true, and I can also say, you know, there's always a temptation sometimes, I guess, when you're enjoying great rates, to go out for, you know, you always hear people go for as much as you can. We've always tried to, based on our projections, we go out based on, pretty much we look at every other year. We try to float enough bonds to cover our capital in sewer and the general for a 2-year period so that we can avoid the arbitrage calculations. Because once we get into that, then we have to start keeping records and calculating, you know, the interest rates you're earning versus the interest rates you're paying out in case there's any arbitrage that we would have to refund back to the federal government. So we always try to stay within the 2-down spend rule, the 2-year I mean, spend rule. So that's why you'll generally see, I can always say, pretty much they're always going to be within 2-2.5 years. Our bonds will generally last in our cash and those capital funds to get us through to that point. Anything less than that, as far as we wouldn't be subject to arbitrage, the only difference is, you know, you just don't want to be going back as frequently either because of the costs associated with it. So we try to package it up, and like I said, we've been doing this for years, where we go for every other year is what we've always shot for.
Councilman Weiner.
Thank you. Just a comment and then a question. Just to add to what Councilman had to say about the reasons for borrowing also, with any long-term borrowing, you're prorating it over the enjoyment and benefit to future taxpayers. Like with any indebtedness, it's good government to have indebtedness for capital items which extend over future decades. My question is, were there any flags, maybe flags too strong a word, or comments from the rating agencies as to items which might be a problem in the future?
The last we had, no. There was no flags, no items that were jumping out. The only thing we were had a discussion more deeply about was, of course, the sewer fund, but that's when we came up, you know, had come across the impact fee funds. Those revenues, not the impact, capital recovery fee, I'm sorry. Capital recovery fees. And how that comes into play with the sewer fund and its future debt needs.
Thank you.
Any further comments from any members of council? Anything under other? Any public comment? Again, there will be notes for this meeting and not minutes. Can we get a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.